The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
May 30th, 2024, at around 5 p.m., a few hours after we finished broadcasting Conversation Unplugged, the American public and the world at halt in its entirety was informed through the media that there was a verdict in regards to the hush money case in regards to former President Donald J. Trump. The Associated Press reported the following, that Donald Trump became the first former American president to be convicted of felony crimes this past Thursday, a week ago, as a New York jury found him guilty of all 34 charges in a scheme to illegally influence the 2016 election through a hush money payment to a porn actor who said the two had a sexual encounter. Trump sat stone-faced while the verdict was read, as cheering from the street below could be heard in the hallway on the courthouse 15th floor, where the decision was revealed after more than 9 hours of deliberation. Former President Donald J. Trump's conviction, or was convicted on 34 felony counts, marks the end of his historic hush money trial, but the fight is far from over. Welcome to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection with my co-host, Pastor Robert Johnson. Bishop Dr. Kevin Aiken is our co-host as well, but is not able to make it on the show today. But we want to recognize him. In the midst of his absence, and we want to welcome all to Conversation Unplugged. Wanted to start out serious because none of us knew that this verdict was going to take place a few hours after we broadcast. Our guest will be today, Pastor Robert Collier. I should say Pastor Emeritus, because you've been smiling since that title and since you got that title in 2024, but it's hard for me not to call you Pastor Robert Collier, former president of Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity, as well as Pastor William B. Moore, president of 10th Memorial Baptist Church, and former president of Black Clergy in Philadelphia and Vicinity. Again, my name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. I am the host of Conversation Unplugged. Let's just really start out. We're not even going to slow walk this. Let's really just start to sprint and really talk about this. Pastor Collier, what was your thoughts when the verdict came in?
I was relieved. I was relieved that the verdict came in guilty because the way things have been going in America, injustices seem to be prevailing. Mm-hmm. So I was concerned that the right thing wouldn't be done. But once the verdict was reached, I was relieved that it was given, but I was appalled at the fact that we have a former president of the United States who is a candidate or who is seeking to be the president of the United States again, who has been convicted of all these felony charges. And he still holds to the fact that he's innocent, that it was rigged, that it's politically motivated. He's not facing the true fact. He was convicted by the system. The system gives you an opportunity to present your case. The DA prosecutes. You get your attorney. You have a jury, and he was convicted by the jury. So he should own up to the fact that he's been found guilty, and it wasn't rigged. It was really the American judicial system at work, regardless of who who the person is. It worked in this instance.
Wow.
So I'm repeating that fact.
Hey, Pastor William B. Moore, what was your thoughts when a verdict came in?
I think I had two thoughts. My initial thought was, I just couldn't believe that I heard what I heard. Mm-hmm. Because I had just said in my mind, as perhaps a number of people said, here is the president of the former president of the United States, president of the states, past President Trump. And then I said, 12 people, somebody's going to see some reason or another why they would not be able to convict him. And as they were reading the charges, as they were counting them down on MSNBC that I was watching at the time,
right,
you know, count one, you know, guilty, two, guilty, three, guilty, four, guilty, five, guilty. I said somewhere along the line, he's going to be found not guilty on something. But the higher they got, the more it came. And when they announced the 34 counts guilty, and really you have to say 34 times 12 because each juror voted there individually.
Right.
And so I said, wow, the criminal justice system eventually does work. And in this case, it did work because we had all seen the evidence. We also had seen, and I think that his team that was his jurors, I think they saw it. It was there. That's why they spent so much time trying to discredit Cohen, because if they could have sown some seed of doubt, they were counting on maybe at least one person on that jury buying into that. But I said, wow, when it was all over, thank God. In one instance, the criminal justice system made the right decision.
Wow. Pastor Robert Johnson, what was your thoughts when the verdict came in?
Well, I was heartened by the fact that the criminal justice system does work, but I was saddened at the fact that here we are in America having to deal with one of the highest seat in the land being the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Having been convicted, and I was really frightened at the aftermath of what this means.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction means one thing. Sentencing means another.
Yes. Great point there.
We have seen people get convicted but have no sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So a conviction is only as good as the person is sentenced. So we've gotten through hurdle number one, and now we're going to see if the judge has the tenacity and the will within him to give the proper sentence to a criminal. And as Dr. Collier said, I think the sad part is a felon can still run for president. And that's unfathomable to me, because if it had been Barack Obama, he would never run again.
So let me just share with everyone. I was literally driving. I'm an adjunct professor, so I'm on my way to teach an undergraduate course. And that whole day before the radio show and after the radio show, I'm literally getting prepared. Lecture notes, assignments, I'm grading. I teach at two places and everything. So I'm just totally oblivious, you know, to the news. And so I'm on the road and I'm listening to the news, and it didn't hit me until I heard, you know, I'm hearing this chatter, and they said, we're waiting for, as the jurors are entering the courtroom, we're waiting for the verdict. And I said, what? There's a verdict? And so I'm like, oh, wow. And when the verdict came back, I was like, this doesn't look good for Trump, because I'm like, I heard some of the evidence that they wanted back to listen to. I forget the name, the man of the newspaper. They wanted to hear his interview and Michael Cohen's interview, et cetera, you know, when they talk. And I was like, this does not look good. And I am not going to lie to you. I will not lie. When I heard, because Pastor Moore and I, we were talking on the phone, and we had like bag of potato chips and popcorn and stuff like that. You know, this has been our talks. since this went down. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's just how we talk. We had some popcorn, potato chips. This would be just like a movie. Okay, let's see what the end result is gonna be. And so I'm literally driving on the road, and I'm here, count one, guilty. And I'm behind the wheel coming down 676. I'm hollering, yes, count two, guilty, yes. And then it dawns on me, because I'm not going to lie to you, I did not expect him to be found guilty on all 34 counts. Not that I did not believe the evidence that was coming forth through those that was broadcasting through the news media. But when I looked at the makeup of the jury, there was two lawyers and one investment banker out of the 12. And I thought that one of the lawyers or one of the investment bankers would probably lean towards not guilty, that would make this a hung jury. So I really thought it was going to be a hung jury because of the makeup of, you know, the jurors. And I was, to my shock and surprise, all 34 counts, he was found guilty. And on one hand, you're leaping for joy because he's finally starting to be held accountable for his actions. I thought about the exonerated five. Remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, he took out a $100,000 page in the Wall Street Journal, which assisted with having four African-Americans and one Hispanic convicted for a rape crime that they never convicted, right? I mean, that they never did. And so I thought about them. And then, but I thought about a sad day in America when the former president commits an act of felony and he's found guilty. And I'll take it a step further from a theological perspective. If he would have been committed to his wife and not committed adultery, he would have not been in this situation. And those are the thought processes that I was thinking about when the verdict was rendered, you know, not guilty. I'm jumping ahead here because I was going to pick up on this on the 30-second station break. We're nowhere near the 30-second station break as of this point. What I find amazing is, it really is not amazing, so let me just restate that, the GOP's reaction to, you know, to his guilty verdict. What was y'all thoughts about that? The way, you know, the GOP is reacting, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Moore, and Pastor Collier, then we go on our 30-second station break.
Well, I was not surprised at some of the GOP's response, but I was seeing, if you will, cracks in the armor of the GOP. Mm-hmm. Now that Trump has been convicted and is vulnerable, you have those who are standing and saying, do I stand with Trump? Do I don't stand with Trump? Do I, you know, and the GOP is going to politicize it as a hit job, as a sham, mm-hmm. you know, as a rigged, but 12 people said it's not a sham. It's not a rig. You know, this is the rule of law, and this, he broke the law. And I think the one thing that we got to understand too is Trump was convicted as an ordinary citizen.
Right.
And he has faced the consequences of being an ordinary citizen who's under the same scrutiny as you and I.
Right.
So there was no special treatment. And I was like you, Dr. Weathers. I was saying, I was thinking and hoping that there was going to be a MAGA somewhere on the jury. But it's really not on the, it's not who sits on the jury, but who sits on the throne that really counts. Mm.
That's a good point there. It's not who sits on the jury, but who sits on the throne. Wow. Wow. Pastor William B. Moore and Pastor Collier.
Yeah, I was surprised at the unanimity of the responses of the Republican Party. Going back to January 6th, how Lindsey Graham, McConnell, and all of the people in the top echelon of the Republican Party, how they came out against it. But then now, here he has been convicted for the kind of chicanery that he has done all of his life, and it finally caught up with him. Mm-hmm. And I think that they are so blinded by what happened because of the power they want to continue to keep. And I think there is a thread of wanting to stay in power and make changes all up and down the line that they would like to make. And Donald Trump represents the kind of person who, first of all, does not understand the presidency and the power of it, and who wants to bring some of his cowardly behavior into the White House. And they see him as a tool that can be used, you know, and they were fortunate enough to get three people on the Supreme Court. And right. You see the kind of rulings that they've done. And the Christian nationalists, while they were against them the first time, how even they have aligned with the Republican Party to get things enacted that should not be enacted. And to see how, to the person, those in the Republican Party, even those who spoke against them, even most recently, how they all are now falling in line. And they're all singing out of the same textbook about this is how the Banana Republic acts. This is not the American justice system, but it is. He was convicted by 12 of his peers. It has nothing whatsoever to do with political chicanery, because mm-hmm. even the president's son is being, as we speak, in the court now. So it is not any kind of thing political, because if it were, and if he were Donald Trump, he would stop it dead in his tracks. So it's not about what they're trying to paint it like. It is being mispainted for what it really is. And that was, he committed the crimes, and 12 jurors of his peers listened, they answered intelligent questions, and they had the courage enough to stand and to vote their conviction to the person.
Wow. Pastor Collier, your thoughts about the reaction, and afterwards we're going to go on a 30-second station break.
Yes, there were some GOP leaders who were blind to the fact that justice does exist. They have their leader who fuels a disregard for other human rights being convicted of felonies. Mm-hmm. And this is the person that they follow blindly. And they want to continue to have the kind of negative energy that Donald Trump projects, because it keeps them riled, keeps them invigorated to follow him, because they believe in what he believes in. Mm-hmm. And for him to be convicted publicly, it shows that there are some GOP leaders who don't understand the justice system, who mm-hmm. blindly follow the president, now have to reconsider, because their own personal political longevity is at stake. They don't want people to believe that they don't have enough common sense or enough self-control to look at things as they are, rather than as Donald Trump paints them. So they want to give the appearance that they're fair-minded and they want to see justice done, but then they want to go along with what Trump says, that it was unfair, that it was rigged, because in that way they can follow him blindly and disregard what the justice system has stated. Anybody with common sense knows how to be in a political office, you must have some idea of how the justice system works. And if this had been someone else other than Donald Trump in this position, many of the GOP leaders would have said, yeah, it was fair. But because it was Donald Trump, they're trying to say it was unfair, because they want to follow him in a negative direction. And that's what he purports. This is what he believes in. And this is what his platform is. And so they're saying now we have to reconsider. Some of them are saying we have to reconsider. We want the American public to believe that we're out for the right. We're trying to do the right thing. Wow. But we know they're not out for the right thing. Anytime you follow Donald Trump, you're not out for the right thing. Anytime you follow Donald Trump, you don't have the American, there's no good faith in you that you want to see America great again. You want to see America like Trump wants it. And these convictions are going to cause them now to rethink their strategies. And they're going to have to find a way to get around it. And the best way that they can get around it, some of them believe, is to say that it was rigged, politically motivated. Whether it was politically motivated or not, if a fair trial is a fair trial. It doesn't make any difference about the motivation. It's the results. It's the system. The system worked. In this case, it didn't work for Donald Trump. So they have to face up to the fact that he was convicted and fairly.
So let's do this. Let's take a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM. And then when we come back, I want to unplug the unspoken that's silently spoken as a reaction to this verdict. The unspoken, which is silently spoken. Let's talk about that in 30 seconds. 30-second station break.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Time is 1:21. PM, 21 minutes after the hour. So I want to take this in a little different direction here, and let's really unplug this because I really want to talk about the unspoken, which is loudly spoken. You got me? So I've been thinking about just the reaction from the head of the Republican Party or the Republican minority leader. Republican Majority Leader of Congress. You got me? And I'm just scrolling down before I get to the unspoken here, because Mike Johnson and the rest, they've had some strong rebuke of the criminal justice system that I believe is unfair and it's unwarranted. And let me just get this right. I may just go ahead and pursue the unspoken here, the unspoken that's spoken, you got me, so I don't just waste too much time on what I'm trying to find here from my research. Oh, here it is. It says, the veracity of outcry was remarkable, tossing the unusual restraint lawmakers, political figures have observed in the past when refraining from criticism of the judge's rule. So you had many that really was outspoken about this. Many GOP lawmakers, including Johnson, have visited the courthouse in New York to support Donald J. Trump. The verdict says more about the system and the allegations, said South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who has been one of Trump's most frequent allies. Another says the verdict made Trump the first former president convicted of felony crimes, but yet the support is numerous. One said people react to guilty verdict announced against the former president outside the Manhattan court. Congratulations, progressive Utah Mike Lee stated, you have just guaranteed Trump's election. Republicans shared the criticism, which came as Congress is out of Washington on a week-long recess. In posts on X, formerly Twitter, and in press releases, TV appearances, and the backlash, not only from Trump GOP friends, but from some of his detractors as well. John Cornyn, who distanced himself with the former president after January 6, 2021, Capitol attack of Trump supporters, said this verdict is a disgrace and this trial should have never happened. Many more. So when I said here about the unspoken is loudly spoken. The unspoken here is how GOP leadership and supporters and MAGA Trump supporters as well is willing to look past his legal indiscretions and give him a green light to continue to move forward for their own gain. And what I mean by that is they said this should have never come to trial. He broke the law. He chose, right, to cover up, use hush money to cover up and wrongly submit it, right, on a legal, not legal, wrongly submitted on a document that it said it's a crime. It's a federal election crime. No one said nothing about when they tried to bring charges against William Jefferson Clinton, former President William Jefferson Clinton. Remember that Coffeegate back in the 90, back in the 80s and the 90s? Nobody said anything then. Nobody said anything that he should have never received. Let me get this right. Impeachment for having an extramarital affair. Nobody said they shouldn't have done that. You got me? And so it's the unspoken how we give green light to bad behavior. Case in point, the unspoken how they gave Brett Kavanaugh a green light when his accuser came and said that there wasn't a sexual violation committed against her. Nobody talked to her about the sexual violation that was committed against her. Matter of fact, they sided with Brett Kavanaugh doing what they're doing now. They blame the Democrats, and yet nobody spoke out against the death threats that this woman got. Nobody's speaking out against the death threats on the GOP side that the judge is receiving, not only against himself, but against his daughter as well. Nobody's speaking out. These same critics that's criticizing criticizing the verdict against Donald J. Trump has said nothing about the death threats that the jurors are receiving and the fact that they want their addresses and things of that nature because they are upset with the verdict. So what they're saying here is we will turn a blind eye on Trump's wrongness and we'll focus on the people who's holding him accountable. And this is the same thing we do in American society when we talk about discrimination and racism. Did the Supreme Court not just vote against the districting lines, I think, in South Carolina? Because
South Carolina.
Say that again.
It was South Carolina.
South Carolina, because they said it wasn't about race. They can turn a blind eye to injustice just to satisfy their ideologies and personal proclivities. What is your thoughts about this long observation? Who would like to go first?
I think I'll tackle it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put it to you very simple.
Put it simply.
If Donald Trump had a stronger candidate for president, that was his opponent, it'll be a moot point. There's chinks in the armor. A conviction for Donald Trump does not mean a loss at the ballot.
You're absolutely correct.
And that's what people are hoping for. People are hoping for that this will be a time when they will look past his indiscretions because they know that the Biden campaign is weak on some issues. And the key is, as I say to you and I say to others, everybody understand that there's two systems of justice in America, always has been, always will be. Mm-hmm. And that the system of justice, even though they find him guilty, does not mean that he will serve a day in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it does mean, and what it does mean, because we can see it, we can see that the backlash is not against so much Donald Trump, but it's against the rule of law that holds people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he did to the exonerated five. We watched all across this country, people who have been convicted falsely. Now when you get it right, you don't like the consequences because it's not politically expedient for those who sit in high places.
And it's really about holding power. And I don't like to paint everything as racism, but there is also a tinge of that, I think, running through this whole thing. Because if this were Barack Obama, that would not be the hue and cry that it is now. And I don't believe that even the rank and file and even the leadership of the Democratic Party would come to his rescue as they are with Donald Trump. So it is really about staying in power, and they will wipe out this man being a crook. What he's been all of his life, how he's gotten away with a lot, so much so that he believes that if I stand on Fifth Avenue and kill somebody, he would not lose any votes. So it shows the confidence that he has in his army. So it is about power, and they see this as a way of staying in power, and they will look past his indiscretion. They would look past the foul thoughts and languages that he that has come out of his mouth, the demeaning talk that he has said about women, what he has done to frustrate the system, including taking secrets out of the White House, saying that they are his, they are his own, the other crimes that he has done, they're willing to look past all of that because they see him as their tool to advance their cause, and they're willing to be blinded to all of this. And if they believed in justice, they would also talk about those who are white who stormed the Capitol and who have served time, and some who are serving time, and some who are crying now not to go in jail. They have not said anything about them because they are insignificant in the sense of where they want to go and where they want what they want to be.
Wow. Your thoughts, Pastor Collier?
Yes, they have placed him in a position that they believe that he's above the law. No matter what he does, it's okay, because he and his group, they favor the rich and the famous, the rich and the powerful. Mm-hmm. And those who want to be rich and powerful know that they have a friend and a person like him who will help them to get more riches.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were concerned, but then what they're not saying is that the justice system is such that if you disagree with the verdict, you have appeal rights. If
That's
you're
right.
innocent, you have mm-hmm. appeal rights. It's not about his innocence. It's about the fact, I can't believe that they found him guilty. I can't believe that they're trying to keep him from leading us to where we want to go. So we don't care anything about him being guilty. So the matter is, we like his philosophy. We like the way he treats people. We like what he has promised us. What he has done for us, no one else would do. So we got to keep him in power, because if we keep him in power, we stay in power. And so we would do whatever it takes to ensure that he remains in power. We look beyond all of his fault. The Christian thing is to look beyond fault. But this is not a Christian. This is a greedy, selfish kind of motive that these people have. And they're not saying anything about the merits of the case. They're not saying anything about right. the justice system has prevailed. To them, it's all a farce. To them, it's rigged. To them, people don't like us, you know. But, hey, it is what it is. And so, therefore, they're not saying that he did anything wrong.
Right.
But they're just concerned. They're mad they got caught. And he was found guilty. They didn't expect that, but it happened.
Wow. Let's do this. We're going to take another quick 30-second station break that will put us back on track on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. And when we come back from our 30-second station break, let's start off with this question. Why are the evangelicals silent? Let's go on our 30-second station break, Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to attain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. Thank you for tuning in and chiming in to Conversation Unplugged. Before I go any further, Reverend Dr. Kevin Aiken, Bishop Kevin Aiken, took on a very monumental task, allowing his dream to become reality. And he opened up the 52nd and Locust Street Barbecue, located at 5148 on Locust Street in Philadelphia. One of the best barbecues that you can have in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. When you get time, stop by 52nd and Locust Barbecue. Again, 5148 Locust Street in Philadelphia. They call it the home of the Bishop dry rub and jerk ribs, man. On their menu, they got pork ribs and smoked ribs and barbecue ribs. They got all kind, beef brisket, pulled chicken, pulled pork, half chicken, four wings. And one thing I need for you not to do is leave Conversation Unplugged now and head down to 52nd and Locust Street to get something to eat. What I need you to do is finish listening to Conversation Unplugged. And then afterwards, go to 52nd and Locust Street Barbecue and support Bishop Dr. Kevin Akin and his new business adventure on that business initiative. And we salute you, our brother in Christ, for stepping out on faith and carrying out your vision. Amen. Amen. So back on Conversation Unplugged, the evangelicals who were who are advocates about, they're against abortion. They believe that life begins in the womb, and they've been very vocal about making sure that fetus is brought to life. Back when Newt Gingrich and them came into office, it was the moral majority that helped get them back in office, right? And so, help them get the majority, the religious right, that is. Well, the religious right that's been touting their religious piety, those that have held former President Barack Hussein Obama up to a different litmus test. Remember, he had to prove that he was a Christian, right, to prove to others that he wasn't a Muslim. Donald J. Trump, an adulterer, now convicted felon. You also have with E. Jean Carroll situation, the civil lawsuit that he lost, Trump University, that fiasco. You have all of these fiascos going on in the life of Donald J. Trump, but yet evangelicals are silent. Why is that? Quoting KRS-One. Pastor Moore, Pastor Robert Johnson, Pastor Collier, why are the evangelicals silent?
I think they are a part of them. Mm. Regardless to the flag that we choose to fly our faith under, or what brand, whether it's Pentecostal, whether it's Baptist, Southern, Northern, whatever it is, the most important thing is what Jesus says, that you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And over these hang all of the laws and prophets. And when you think about name and sin, all of us, got a list. And that list includes things we don't do. Mm-hmm. We said, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't chase anybody else's spouse, so I'm holy. Mm-hmm. But it's really about relationship, because if you got the right kind of relationship, then you would not do any of these things or a whole lot of other things that would help to violate your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So having said that and setting that aside, I think they are a part of what this wave this wave that the Republican Party is trying to take this country. They are part of it. And I think they are hiding behind their faith in order to give them cover, because they are the same ones. It's like the Ku Klux Klan, the ones that were, doctors and lawyers and sheriffs. They also had these white robes over their faces. And so I see it in that light. They are the ones, with this robe of their faith over their faces, over their bodies. They're the same, no different.
Wow. Pastor Robert Johnson and Pastor Robert Collier, your thoughts. Why the evangelicals silent?
I think that the evangelical leaders are silent because they're chinks in the armor with their constituency, with their congregations. Mm-hmm. I think that the congregations now are saying, listen, we started with Access Hollywood, and now we come all the way down. Everybody can't be lying. Everybody can't be wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be a Christian, then you got to hold people to a standard.
That's right.
It was okay when it was fresh and it was new. But now people are looking and saying, wait, the word of God does not jive with what Donald J. Trump is doing. And because it's not jiving with what the word of God says, the congregation members are saying, I'm either going to stand with Trump or I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm going to stand with the word or I'm going to stand with Trump. And the last time I looked, there was a J, but it wasn't Donald J that climbed up on a cross and died. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's the congregation members that are pulling and having their leadership not stand with Trump, because in order to stand with Trump, they got to stand against the word. Mm-hmm. You can't stand with Trump and because Trump is ungodly. You just can't do that. And so I think they're silent because how can you defend the undefensible? Mm-hmm. And how can you support the unsupportable? It's too much evidence. If they really wanted to get their, if they really wanted to get their constituency back, if they really wanted to be the church, they would not support him. They would pray for him. Mm-hmm. And they will say, we're going to rally around because he has, they will call it what it is. And let's support him and see if we can bring him back to Jesus. I think also, this is a big one. When Trump started selling the Bible, mm-hmm. I think folks said I done had enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would have been better with the sneakers than the Bible. Pastor Carter.
At least if they had it right side up, it would have been a little better.
Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. Wow, that's a whole nother subject.
My research has shown that most of the evangelicals that support Trump are wealthy, and that they're following the money. There are two things that Trump supports that they jumped on the bandwagon with, and that's abortion and homosexuality. They just right. Those two elements that was down their alley. What they're looking beyond is all the other things that he's done, because they don't have any scriptural remedy for what he has done. And therefore, they're quiet because they want to see how this is going to play out right. before they come out publicly and say that I believe they still support him privately, the evangelical leader, the Paulo, the guy in Texas, they still support him. They're still giving him money, right. but they're not making any public statements. And until they see how this plays, because they want to stay face with the public, because it's the public that keeps them rich. It's the public that keeps giving them money. So they're waiting. But we know that anytime you do anything against God, you speak out regardless of who it is and why it's happening. And they're not doing that because they have a hidden agenda, and their agenda is to gain more wealth. And they can do that through Trump because his followers support their ministry because they support him, and that's why they're solid.
Wow, it's very interesting here that you have one side, certain, not all, but certain aspects of those who practice evangelicalism was very quick to label critical race theory as a villain. And got everyone within their circles, tribes, et cetera, to really jump on CRT, to use that as a villain. They can't teach that in our schools. They weren't teaching it in public schools from the get-go. And then you got those that jumped on the bandwagon against diversity, equity, and inclusion. So you had, the erosion of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So now universities, right, they have to take off race question essays, off of the admissions applications and et cetera. Even when they're hiring, professors, Harvard just had to take that race question off their application. But yet they were very adamant about that. But now he's found guilty of committing adultery and using money to cover it up. He's now a convicted felon. And right now they were very vocal, for the right to life, but not vocal on the right for American citizens to serve on a jury and to render a verdict in a free country and yet have their lives threatened. It's very interesting, the hypocrisy, the theological hypocrisy that's being practiced. I won't even say it's theological hypocrisy. I think it's theologically hypocritical to use ideology for self-gain and to then dress it up like it's theology for the glory of God. That's hypocritical. So what's interesting here, did we lose Pastor Collier? What's interesting here, Also, it's Pastor Moore, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Collier. I came across an article, you know, I believe that was either, I think it was either Politico or the AP Press. And it says here that Trump has been affected by this verdict. It says that there was a poll that was done by the Reuters poll, as well as the Morning Consult poll, that basically said that since the verdict, Biden gained 3 percentage points and Trump is still at the same. So right now it's only 1 percentage, you know, point advantage. But right now Biden in the overall polls is at 45% and Trump is at 44. It's still within the margin of error. So that can swing either way come the election in November of 2024. But right now, it was those who thought that it didn't have an impact, but it appears that it is having an impact. What's your thoughts about the poll numbers at this point? Pastor Johnson, Pastor Moore, and Pastor Collier, then we're going to bypass the 30-second station break because it's 1:46 now. What's your thought?
Well, I think, number one, that we can't get caught up in poll numbers. What mm-hmm. we need to understand is that we need to understand that this thing with Donald Trump, I think, and Pastor Weathers, you got to help me, that the verdict's not until July, correct?
The so sentencing, the July 11th.
Is in July.
The sentencing, right.
So we have from now until July 11th to really get the message out that it's not whether or not he's going to, what his sentence is going to be, but what sentence are we going to have as Americans if we don't get out and vote? We are under those sentence now. The sentence is, are we going to have 4 years of Donald Trump coming back, thumbing his nose and starting something? Because remember, he did threaten us. He did say that if he was convicted, it was going to be hell. Remember, he did threaten us and say that they were going to fight like hell. And that reminds me of the insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he has done is thumbed his nose to a system. He wants to set himself up as a dictator, and he wants to set himself up as someone who is above the law. I think that now what we have to understand and what we have to look at is that now that the polls are out and say that Biden has gained 3 percentage points, we've got to hit the ground running and understand that we have to get people, wake up people and keep people understand it is not just about an election, but this is about the very foundation of our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Great, great observation. I wrote a note to myself today when I was doing research in regards to this, you know, situation and further revelations, you know, the Georgia State Supreme Court, the appeals court has now indefinitely put the Georgia Supreme, you know, the Georgia case against Trump has been put on hold, which means that the case may not happen until March 2025. The Judge Kate Cannon in Florida, the antics that she's pulling right now pushes that case further and further back, you know, after the election. So we know what happens to that case if Trump gets reelected. You follow me? So we have these particular antics that are, you know, are happening right now. Our action steps is to register folks to vote. I mean, that's the only, register folks to vote, and then have voter turnout and encourage people to vote as well. As we get, well, we're 48 minutes after the hour, so we have a few more minutes left. Let me just go around the room with the panelists as well as co-hosts and myself. The sentencing is January the 11th. Is he going to jail, house arrest, or he's just going to pay a fine and get probation? Jail, house arrest, pay a fine and get probation. Pastor Moore, what's your thoughts? Pastor Collier, and then Pastor Robert Johnson. Jail, house arrest, pay a fine and be on probation. What do you think the outcome is going to be?
I think if I had to put them in an order, I would say fine him and some form of house arrest. I don't think that he will go to jail. I think that would be probably a lot more, not that the judge should be concerned about that necessarily, but he should, because what they are saying now is, you know, these folks are really unplugged, and he sees, you know, the kind of irrational behavior that they're doing now. So I think that in the kind of retribution that he has, I think it would be something that was staying, but it would be moderated. I don't see him necessarily going to jail. He may have an ankle brace, or he may confine him to Mar-a-Lago for some period of time. But physically going to jail, I don't see that. Just yet.
Hmm. Pastor Collier.
I believe what will happen is that he will be fined, but that's not really a punishment to him, because he fined money somewhere. That's not really that's not going to hurt him. They were fine, but like Dr. Moore said, I think some form of house arrest would be appropriate, because the greatest thing that could happen to him, and the most hurtful thing that could happen to him, would be that he would be barred from public office. That's what would hurt. These other things won't hurt him. Fine and house arrest. As long as he thinks he can be president again, he's good. I believe that the house arrest and the fine would suffice, as long as he's not able to be the president. That would satisfy me. Hopefully that'll happen. What I don't want to see is that he get off with a chap on the wrist. That would be unconscionable.
Wow. Your thoughts, Pastor Johnson?
I think that a fine or a house arrest is a slap on the wrist. I think that there should be, even if it spends 30 days in jail, if it spends 30 days in jail, 34 counts, and to have him to be humiliated in a orange jumpsuit for 30 days, that no one gets favorite treatment in, as far as our judicial system is concerned. And he would get out in enough time to run and lose. That's what I think that should happen. It should be a shock to the system of America that says, if you do the crime, you do the time. All of his cohorts have been convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Bannon has just been ordered to go to turn himself in July 1.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that means that America is saying, we're tired of the shenanigans, and let's get on with doing the people's business rather than Trump's business.
So, I know we only have a few minutes left. I should have asked this earlier. We got to finish within 3 minutes. If he is convicted. If they give him a sentence, 30 days house arrest, or 30 days in jail, would that help his campaign or hurt his campaign?
I think it would. We see what has been done. Will help his campaign. I think we have three groups of people. Number one, there's his supporters. And I don't believe he's going to grow that base anymore. Mm-hmm. I think they're where they are going to be. The people that are going to vote for Biden are probably pretty much made up their mind where they're going to be. It's the movable middle. And I think that those are the groups that he, as well as Biden, will be speaking to. And I think who wins that war, who wins not necessarily that war, but who convinces those voters one way or the other, I think will be the next president of the United States.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't think imprisonment would hurt his campaign. I think There's so many people that are so blindly following him. They're looking at him as a hero. They have this hero attitude that, America mistreated him, and the fact that he was found guilty, he still what he advocates, they still believe in. He still supports what they believe in, and I think that they're going to see it through. But it's funny how the same thing that he used to hurt people, now he wants to help people. He wanted to suppress the vote. He wanted to suppress black voters, but now he's pursuing black voters. I mean, to me, it's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. But the people that he wanted to stop from voting, now he wants their vote so that he could become president. And some of them are going to vote for him.
So let me close out. My mother, and God bless her soul, resting in the arms of the Lord. My mother often said growing up, never throw at a glass house when you got a glass house of your own. At the Republican National Convention, Michael Flynn, I think that's his name, and others, was leading this chant. Lock her up. Lock her up. Y'all remember that? Lock her up. Lock her up. And now on July 11th, the same people that was leading the charge, lock her up, might be the same ones that's singing the symphony, oh my God, I'm getting locked up. Thank you for joining Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. We're getting ready to unplug. We want to thank Reverend Dr. William B. Moore and Reverend Dr. Robert Collier for joining us on Conversation Unplugged. As we unplug right now, and if God allows us to have breath in our body, join us again next week. Next week on Thursday at 1 p.m. as we look for another conversation to unplug. Thank you for listening to Conversation Unplugged. Thank you for joining us. Let's go out and vote. It's not only democracy is on the line, but our vote is needed to ensure that we maintain democracy in America. Take care and God bless.
Yes.